Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 218 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Drew.
Drew?
The no!
Oh my God.
Drew Carey.
Cleveland rocks.
Ohio. Ohio.
If only you could see her, because for those of you who are just listening, Sessa has on very thick black glasses.
If you think of Drew Carey's glasses. What I'm wearing.
Some people are like, who's Drew Carey? In that case, we move on because you're too young for this. So this episode is sponsored by Hannah Chan. Thank you, Hannah.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you.
So today we will be discussing part two of three, friends.
Holy moly.
Of chapter 7 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, The Slug Club. So make sure that you've read the chapter and you're ready to creep your way through the details.
This is basically what we're doing, where everything is made up and the points don't matter.
I mean, that's Swish. True. That's literally true. The points don't matter. Oh, my goodness. But Megan has some weekly profit news for us.
That is, I do.
Exciting.
Well, first of all, before I say, okay, so the weekly profit is about Cursed Child. So I just want to give a shout out that I believe tomorrow, as of today, the day we're recording, which is October 14th, I believe tomorrow Cursed Child is back in London.
Yes.
So that's exciting.
So exciting.
I've been seeing that on the internet.
And they still have two parts, so jelly. But they also have announced that Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is coming to Tokyo with a fully Japanese cast. And it will debut in Tokyo in July of 2022. So I just thought that was really cool.
That's awesome.
That is exciting.
I tried to see if they're getting combined or the two parts. I'm assuming they're getting the two parts just because everywhere except North America is keeping the two parts, like, as of right now. So, like, Australia still has two parts, Germany, England, but
I feel like that's the usual thing, right? Yeah. All the other countries get the good stuff in America.
But even Canada gets the reduced one, and Canada's way better than us. I'm sorry, Canada, you're too close to us. We're beginning to curse you, and now you're getting the crappy version of the play, too.
But we don't know if it's just the shortened, condensed part. We
yeah, I'm assuming it's crappy. It's crappy,
but make it lovely.
Well, we'll see. But
well, we won't. We don't have plans.
No, but I would like to see the condensed version just to like have a proper opinion on it at some point. So,
like condensed soup, I don't really care for that. And we needed to add more water to it to like make it less salty. So I'd like, you know, two parts.
My first thought was condensed milk, and then my second thought was condensed font. So
I immediately went to condensed font.
Yeah.
Oh, I immediately thought condensed soup.
Condensed font.
Yeah.
Yeah, typeface. Condensed typeface.
It means like it's squishy, squished together. Condensed.
That's some nerd stuff.
I'm sure that you've used a condensed typeface. You just didn't even realize it.
Or appreciate it, Tiffany.
Wow.
I really just use Times New Roman. So.
Graphic designers in the house.
Do you know all the typefaces that are on Microsoft Word?
Microsoft Word?
I love
who uses
this.
Microsoft?
Meg in the chat said that Lori changed her mind about Cursed Child and she doesn't know how to deal with it. I love that.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's awesome. So make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube because alert, alert, I have videos planned to release all like of our, what?
They're done and edited. Like
they
scheduled.
Are. All of our Universal / Disney weekend trip in Orlando this summer is edited, or it will be by the end of the night tonight because I have one more to do, which is just like a half of a day one. So it won't take me as long. But they're going to be coming out once a week on Thursdays, and they are scheduled out for a little over a month now. So go and subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can get alerts whenever they release. They are scheduled to release at 8 a.m. on Thursdays. So, and then after I'm done with the Disney vlogs going out, I believe that the next vlog after that is Swishmas if we vlogged. Maybe we didn't. I'm not sure. But if not, then New York.
I don't remember.
We also have some store walkthroughs left to do.
We do have a couple store walkthroughs. So yeah, go subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out the videos that we put together for you guys. I like watching them. So hopefully you will too.
I like watching them.
I do like watching them. I love going back and watching like videos of memories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It helps me remember things because I have a crappy memory sometimes. So anyway, you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at SwishFlickCast. And if you would like to support us on Patreon, you can head on over to patreon.com/SwishFlickCast. By supporting our podcast, it keeps us going and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. If you would like to send in your Potter stories or any questions or concerns, you can do so to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Is this coming out in October?
Yeah.
So
next weekend, right?
Swish swag box. This is the last month to get January's box. And we have been.
We have a theme.
Yeah.
Is it what I said it was?
I like that. Yeah, yeah. I'm going with it.
It's a good theme, my friends.
It's a good theme.
You're welcome.
Oh, yes.
So we officially have a theme. We have a handful of ideas. We just need to do some research to figure out what we can get.
Narrow it down.
But I'm excited.
It should be a good box.
Yeah.
I think this will probably be my favorite because it's like on brand. For life.
I love that for you.
I love that for you. I'm so happy for you.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, in honor of Adele's new single, I set fire to the recap.
Which is the oldest song, not the oldest song,
that's
but
one of the only ones I know off the cuff.
Love it. All right. Last time, summer holidays coming to a close. Harry can't stop thinking about what Malfoy's up to. Little Jerry action, maybe. Ron and Hermione are super over it. Everyone's still annoyed by Fleur. She's wedding planning. Feel bad for her because wedding planning can be really stressful. So, like, everyone should be helping her, but nobody, I don't think anybody really wants to. They head back to school in style. Don't they, like, get limos or something or ministry cars? Limos. What the heck am I talking about?
Ministry.
Riding in style.
Right. Oh, Ron and
they're
Hermione.
Stretch Hummers.
Yeah.
Hot tubs.
Ron and Hermione have prefect duties. So Harry meets up with Neville and Luna. Ginny's too busy with Dean. Ooh. And Harry's reminded they don't hang out at school. And he feels a little annoyed about it. Doesn't really know why yet.
So Harry gets comfortable in the compartment with his friends, aka Neville and Luna. That's right, Romilda Vane. Ron and Hermione join them after their meeting, and then Neville and Harry get a note inviting them to lunch with Professor Slughorn. Turns out that they weren't the only ones there to have lunch, which is really just like a thing where Slughorn interrogates his students to see if they're worthy of his time. Some of them are not, and he's very rude about it, in my opinion. But we'll get there.
Oh, excuse me. Where's the lie?
So tell me what he pulls out and shows to Harry. Read that sentence. Read it.
He pulled it out and showed it to Harry.
Yeah, he did.
So Neville pulls out his wand and shows it to Harry. And we've been waiting for this moment for a long time because we always say how much more Neville could do if he actually had a wand that had chosen him.
If I only had a wand.
So it is a cherry and unicorn hair wand, and he goes on to say that he thinks it's one of the very last wands that Ollivander sold before he vanished, which was actually kidnapped.
How That's wonderful. Sad.
Oh,
Sarah.
So yeah. Cherry wood, I just pulled from wizardingworld.com about the wand woods. And so cherry, what Ollivander says, this very rare wand wood creates a wand of strange power, most highly prized by the wizarding students of the school of something in Japan. I don't know how to say that. Anybody want to
Ouagadougou?
Deign to guess.
Isn't
That's
it Ouagadougou?
In Uganda.
That Damn. No, it's just an M.
Literally, it is written in the doc.
Oh, I wasn't reading the doc. I just really like the name Ouagadougou.
I mean, I would. That is the one in Africa.
Mahutakoro.
No, I would guess. What did you say?
Mahutakoro.
That's what I would guess.
See, you could have said that first, and we wouldn't have
I'd
had to go
Ouagadougou.
Through that.
It's Ouagadougou. It is, in fact, not Ouagadougou.
Whatever.
Hey, that's your Eileen Prince moment.
I wasn't
there it
reading
is.
Along in their notes.
Well, why not?
Because I was why letting not? Tiffany just serenade me with her
along
voice.
The notes. Why not?
Okay.
So I love Hilary Duff.
That is where those who own cherry wands have special prestige. The Western wand purchasers should dispel from their minds any notion that the pink blossom of the living tree makes for a frivolous or merely ornamental wand. For cherry wood often makes a wand that possesses truly lethal power, whatever the core. But if teamed with dragon heartstring, the wand ought not never to be teamed with a wizard without exceptional self-control and strength of mind.
Ooh. Is this like a cherry blossom tree? Is that what they're talking about?
I would assume so.
Those are gorgeous.
Okay.
Just to say, it's an opinion.
Gorgeous.
We've seen the ones in Washington before. DC, Tiffany and I.
Yes, we have.
Tiffany's like, really? Was I there?
Many moons ago. So unicorn hair generally produces the most consistent magic and is least subject to fluctuations and blockages. Wands with unicorn cores are generally the most difficult to turn to the dark arts. They are the most faithful of all wands and usually remain strongly attached to their first owner, irrespective of whether he or she was an accomplished witch or wizard. Minor disadvantages of the unicorn hair are that they do not make the most powerful wands, although the wand wood may compensate. It kind of sounds like cherry would compensate for that.
And they are prone to melancholy if seriously mishandled, meaning that the hair may, quote, die and need replacing.
I really like this for him.
Say it right.
I know. It sounded so snotty.
I love this for him.
But I love this for him. No, because, like, I think that I know that I personally have talked about, like, how a lot of people, like, underestimate him. But I think that he does have, like, some good strength qualities that he himself doesn't even realize because other people around him don't realize. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't be looking at chat. I see you giggling.
I'm looking at myself drink from a straw.
But anyway, I just think that I think it's really good for him.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like that one, he has his own wand and I think it suits him.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And so Trevor, shout out to Trevor. It's been a minute. We haven't ribbit. Heard from you in a while. It's been a ribbit. So Trevor makes for an escape. And I feel bad because Trevor doesn't want to be there. He never wants, like, to be there.
Are frogs meant to be
it's pets? A toad?
Are toads meant to be pets?
Also, no. They should not be kept in one's pocket.
Well, there you go. Like, I love you, Neville.
Come on, Neville. Let him be free.
Let him go. Let him go. Truly. Don't hold him captive anymore.
That's it.
I don't know why I do the things I do. I apologize, everyone.
Thank you. We'll accept your apology when we see your actions start to change.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So Luna asks if they are doing DA meetings this year. And as she's asking, she's also wearing a pair of psychedelic spectacles from the middle of the Quibbler. And I asked, are these the glasses we always see her in? Because then they're named later on. In this section.
These the glasses you're looking for?
The pink ones that look like
Spectra specs.
But, like, he calls them out later on. So, like, how does he know that that's what they're called?
I don't know. Maybe it's on the cover.
In the same chapter he's like, oh, those, he turned when, like, Romel Devane comes in. He, like, points out that she's wearing them and calls them by their name.
I know. That's why I said.
So, like, why?
I don't know.
Where do you learn the name, Harry? Sorry.
He's a seer.
It's probably on the cover of the magazine. That's my guess.
Do you think he's astute enough to read it off the cover of the magazine and be like, oh, that must be what she has on her face?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. So Harry tells her that there really isn't any point in having these meetings anymore now that the pink lady is gone. And when Neville emerges from under the seat with Trevor, he looks really disappointed. He and Luna are both really going to miss these meetings. Neville says that he learned so much from Harry. And Luna said it was like having friends.
Luna?
They are your friends.
Yeah.
I don't think she is like fully realized that, like, Ginny truly is her friend.
Yeah.
And I just
yeah.
I just feel really bad. And my heart breaks for her.
She's got friends now.
I think she's just not used to the idea of it. She's just not used to the idea of it. And it's like, she'll get there, you know?
Yeah.
I love her.
So here's a quote. It says, this was one of those uncomfortable things Luna often said, which made Harry feel a squirming mixture of pity and embarrassment. And I think that Harry really doesn't know how to react to Luna sometimes. I think sometimes they really, really understand each other with the things that they discuss. And then there's other times where he is so thrown off and he, like, is awkward turtle and he doesn't know what to say. And she is so direct. Mm-hmm. And I think when people, and this goes with anybody who is direct, I feel like it sometimes throws people off and they don't know how to react. Because being direct can sometimes be seen as being mean or being rude or being negative. But
yeah, for sure.
We need to move away from that. Because I feel like if more people were direct in the way that they talk and communicate, there would be a lot less misunderstandings in this world. If you just say what you need to say. You know what I mean? So I praise Luna for being direct because I really like that trait. And so he obviously doesn't really know how to respond. And there's a disturbance just then outside the compartment door. And it's a giggling group of girls from the fourth year. And I am requesting that this be acted out.
All right. All right. I'm leaving this.
Katie, okay. You are yellow.
Okay.
Sarah, you are blue. And Megan, I gave you the best part because I thought you could do it justice.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Notice okay. How Tiffany doesn't have a part in this. Excuse me. That's fine.
Everybody, are we ready?
Yep.
Sarah, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You ask him.
No, you.
I'll do it. Hi, Harry. I'm Romilda Vane. Why don't you join us in our compartment? You don't have to sit with them.
My kid, so proud. Oh, yes. Hello, Romilda. So the scene in the compartment is one to remember because Neville's bottom is sticking up out from under the seat where he was again looking for Trevor, who made another bid at freedom. And Luna is wearing the Spectre specs and looking like a, quote, demented multicolored owl. And I love this. I love every little bit of it because it's just them. You know, this is what happens when you hang out with Luna and Neville. And Harry's in no mood. And he tells Romilda that they are friends of his. And he says it coldly. Yes.
Good.
It reminds me very much of him meeting Draco. And he's like, I can help you be friends, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He's like,
no. Mm-hmm.
Bye. And like he had just met Ron. And he was like,
he knows.
No.
Yeah.
I think I can tell the wrong sort right. For myself. Thanks.
So Romilda says, okay. Yeah. Be quiet. And so she and her crew leave, and I don't pull her character profile because I figure we can do that a little more later on.
Sure.
She has a...
Maybe we'll do a Felix Files on her, too.
A substantial part in almost killing Ron.
Yeah.
But it's not
unintentionally, but yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay. And so... Luna tells him that people will be expecting him to have cooler friends than them, and Harry tells him that they are cool. And I love him because that's a really sweet thing to say. He said, quote, none of them was at the ministry. They didn't fight with me. And that's a very nice thing to say, beamed Luna. Then she pushed her Spectre specs further up her nose and settled down to read the Quibbler.
How do you know what those are called, Harry?
Hmm? Yeah, Harry.
Hmm?
He's thought about it 3 times.
He's a seer.
Actually, I think it's twice. Anyways, Neville tries to downplay what he did at the ministry and is like, but we didn't face him, you know, because Harry did, but none of them, you know, none of them were with him during that time. Quote, you did. You should hear my grand talk about you. That Harry Potter's got more backbone than the whole Ministry of Magic put together. She'd give anything to have you as a grandson. And here we are back at heartbreak for Neville.
The fact that Neville is kept, like, Neville has caught on to these feelings is what's so heartbreaking. It's like...
I don't think they're, like, hidden from him.
Yeah.
They're blatant about how they don't think that he's good enough.
It sucks. He is better than good enough.
Yes.
Okay.
We love you enough for your family. Your wife might not care about that, but...
In a fictional world, everything's fine.
Yeah.
So Harry laughs uncomfortably because that's also an uncomfortable thing to hear. And he changes the subject to OWLs, and Neville recites his grades to Harry, wondering if he would be able to take Newt level transfiguration without getting an acceptable. Harry wasn't really listening, and he goes into like his own thoughts. And this all goes back to Voldemort. I mean, the reason why a lot of these things are happening is because of him. Like, this uncomfortable conversation was happening because of Voldemort. And so Harry thinks Neville's childhood had been blighted by Voldemort just as much as Harry's had. But Neville had no idea how close he had come to having Harry's destiny. The prophecy could have referred to either of them, yet for his own inscrutable reasons, Voldemort had chosen to believe that Harry was the one meant. And we've talked about this a lot,
And, you know, we talked about, would Neville's mother have sacrificed her life for his? And
I think she would have.
I think she would have.
But I don't think she would have gotten the choice. Hey, this is my part.
Oh. Sorry.
It's okay.
Hey. But yes, the whole choice thing.
So Harry's thinking all these things that we were just talking about. Like, had Voldemort chosen Neville, maybe Neville would be sitting across from him with a lightning-shaped scar on his forehead. He would have the weight of the prophecy that Harry's now learned about. Would Alice have died to save Neville like Lily died for Harry, or like Lily did for Harry? And I think, of course, she would have. But I don't think that Voldemort would have given her a chance to step aside. And that's kind of an important part of the sacrificial protection. You have to. So I went onto the Wikia page for it just to like confirm. I know we've like talked about this a million times, but I was like, this will be the time that I talk about it wrong, because, you know, that's what I do. So it says here the requirements are, in order for the protection to form, the victim must be given the option to live but consciously choose death. This is why James Potter's death didn't confer magical protection on Lily and Harry in 1981, because Voldemort did not give him a chance to survive.
Okay.
However, because of Snape's love for Lily, I just feel like I always have to put that in quotations because I don't feel it. But anyway, because he begged Voldemort to give Lily the chance to live, that is what caused the protection unknowingly to Voldemort. So because of that, I do not think that Neville would have been given the protection that Harry has, which would have meant that Neville would have just died. So that is a sad tweet.
It is a sad tweet.
Yeah.
So, okay. Think with me here in a more sad, down a sad trail. Say Neville died, right? Do you think Voldemort would have gone after the other to make it complete?
I don't think so.
He would have thought it was good. How could he have been so sure? I know he's arrogant. I don't know. Jeez, would you not cover all your bases?
I guess maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't have the opportunity to try and go kill Neville because he was already basically dead.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I guess because that happened, he clearly chose correctly or whatever. You know what I mean? So yeah. Like, now why even bother to go? go after?
Maybe he was thinking, like, when he chose the Potters, because like, oh, here's my buddy Snape, I'll let the girl live, kill everybody else, then Snape can have the woman. And maybe that's part of the reason why he chose the Potters.
Maybe
thinking like, oh, here's a prize for my like handyman Snape. This is not his handyman, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like crazy to think that had he chosen Neville, like there wouldn't be a chosen one. Harry would maybe still have his mom, but I guess maybe not if Voldemort did decide to just go after both.
Be Voldemort day, man.
Voldemort day all around.
It's the best day.
Neville would be gone. Like, Voldemort, it's just really sad to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
A lot of things would have been very different. And like, it could have just been the difference, not just because this is big. Like, Neville's family could have died, and then everything with Harry could have still happened had Voldemort gone after both children, right? But like, it also could have just meant that like Neville and his family died, and then like Harry could have maybe still had his mom, depending on like how the situation plays out. It's just not a good situation all around. Like, no matter what happens, it's not good.
Yeah, Voldemort sucks.
Yeah, he does.
Statement of year.
So Neville looks over at Harry and just goes, "Are you all right, Harry? You look funny."
Thanks, Neville.
I know, I've been like, geez, thanks, dude. But Harry is just like, sorry, and he gets cut off because Luna goes, "Raxpert got you?" Looking at Harry through her specter specs. And a Raxpert, according to Luna and her father. Don't know if they really exist, but they're invisible. They float in through your ears and make your brain go fuzzy. And she had thought that she felt one zooming around here. And the spectrospecs aid in her seeing them.
I was just thinking how cool it would be if Luna met Newt. But guess what? She marries his grandson. So, like, imagine the conversations they have over, like, real creatures and these mythical ones that she talks about.
This is true.
We don't know. Who are maybe real. Mythical.
Yeah.
Maybe her expert's real, but maybe that's like not its proper name or something, or maybe it is its proper name.
My whole life is Raxpert's.
Truth. No truer words have been spoken.
It's called millennial burnout. That's what a Raxpert is.
I'm Raxpert. I'm Raxpert.
So Harry and Neville just catch each other's eyes and start talking about Quidditch to move the conversation away from Raxperts because they just don't really want to talk about them. And then we move on to talking about the weather in the book, which is, this just seemed random to me. We're talking about the weather. They pass stretches of chilling mist. I don't know. Are there Dementors around? Is that why there's chilling mist, or is it just Scotland? I have no idea.
You don't know.
This is just Scotland.
Then, or Northern England. I don't know where they are. So then they are out into weak, clear sunlight. And then Ron and Hermione enter the compartment at last. Wish the lunch trolley would hurry up. I'm starving, said Ron as he slumped into the seat beside Harry, which is just such a Ron entrance, and I love it. And then Ron tells them that Malfoy is not doing prefect duty. He was just sitting in the compartment with the other Slytherins. And honestly, if I was Ron and I saw that, I would be like, so you mean to tell me I could have just gone to the compartment and hung out with Harry instead of doing all of this BS?
Right.
Malfoy's getting away with it. Why can't I get away with it?
Is he still a prefect, though?
Yeah.
Who?
Malfoy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Harry is like, this is a little sus, don't you think? It's a little bit unlike Malfoy to not want to use his power as prefect, no? And Ron is like, yeah, you know, it is unlike him to not want to go and bully the first years, at least.
Oh, you don't say.
And Harry, in his mind, is just like, doesn't this look as though Malfoy had more important things on his mind than bullying younger students? Like, you know, Death Eater stuff? And Hermione is just like, maybe he just preferred the Inquisitorial Squad, which is probably true because he got away with,
you have to like torture people.
Right? Like, they got away with a whole lot more on the Inquisitorial Squad.
The Squiz Squad. I think squad. He just has squad. Other fish to fry this year.
For sure.
Literally.
Although Dumbledore is
basically, Harry's right. Harry's right. So Harry's in the middle of saying, I don't think so. I think he's when he gets cut off because a breathless third year girl steps inside and hands two rolls of parchment to Harry and Neville, saying that she was told to deliver them to them. And Ron is like, what is that? And Harry's just like, an invitation. And all it says is, Harry, I would be delighted if you would join me for a bite of lunch in compartment C. Sincerely, Professor H.E.F. Slughorn.
I need you to read the note again, and I need you to read it like Slughorn.
Oh, God. Come on. What's his voice sound like?
He sounds pretty jolly.
Doesn't he sound like a lion, right? Oh, wait, no.
No, that's Scrimgeour. That's Scrudgemere.
Scrudgemere, you're right.
And he looks walrus. Like a lion.
Think about what a walrus like a would sound like if Harry. A walrus could talk.
Yeah. I would be delighted if you would join me for lunch. Wait. Join me for a bite of lunch in compartment C. Sincerely, Professor Hef Slughorn.
You should get two straws so you have walrus teeth so you can speak right.
Yes! You did so well. You were like,
say Hef.
Acting.
I was wondering, like, what?
What's his name?
Horace.
Yeah, but what's EF?
We just remember. Did a Felix Files
Horace
on him, and none of us can remember.
Extra Fabulous Slughorn.
Yeah, well, that's a good trivia question.
It is a great trivia question.
Eugene Flackus.
Eugene Flackus. There we go.
Yeah, Eugene.
It says Horace
Fitzherbert.
It's Horace Eugene Fitzherbert Slughorn. It fits.
They just can't get my nose right.
I can't believe this. All right. So Neville's like, who's Professor Slughorn? And Harry's like, new teacher. I guess we're going to have to go. Harry knows everything, you know? So Neville nervously.
We talk about that later on, how much he doesn't know.
How does she know everything? It's on his suitcase, Ronald.
So Neville nervously asks, like, well, what does he want me for? And, like, he sounds like he's expecting detention. And Harry's like, I have no idea. But that's not totally true, because he has a little bit of a hunch of why they might be going.
Is Eric Bunt going to be there?
I don't know. We'll find out. Is he part of the Slug Club?
He's going to warn you, Harry. He's going to try to collect you.
So he suggests going under the invisibility cloak so they can get a good look at Malfoy on the way to see what he's up to. And I like how, like, Neville's just, like, in on this now. Like, last year, they never would have been included. Yeah, yeah. You know?
But last year, we weren't there.
Find it. It's not just something that he only trusts Ron and Hermione anymore. He's open to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Trashing Malfoy openly to his other friends now.
Yeah.
but it's not such a good idea because you're on the Hogwarts Express. There's a lot of kids running around. The corridor's pretty crowded. So they give it up. But poor Harry thinks it would have been nice to wear anyway because so many people are staring at him. And it seems to have been so much more intense this time.
He's extra famous.
Right. Than the last time he had walked on the train. And, like, students are literally hurtling themselves out of the compartments to try and get a good look at him, except for Cho Chang, who hurried into her compartment when she saw Harry coming. Discord, I need to channel your positive thoughts here because I'm the one that got this section, and I just apologize for what might happen from here on out.
We all know how we all feel about Marietta. It's fine.
Oh, you said the name. She must not be named. So Harry passes by. He sees Cho deep in concentration with Marietta. She was wearing a very thick layer of makeup that didn't entirely hide the odd formation of pimples still etched across her face. Harry smirks a little bit and continues on. Okay, good. We made it through. All right.
Nobody say anything. Nobody move.
I mean, we've talked about it at length.
I know. So they get to compartment C. They find out they're not the only ones who've been invited, but Harry does seem to be the most highly anticipated, though, because Slughorn, like, jumps up at the sight of him. He's like, Harry, my boy, good to see you. And then he's like, oh, you must be Mr. Longbottom. And Neville looks super scared, but nods. So they sit down, and Harry's, like, looking around at the other kids that are there. He recognizes a Slytherin from their year. There's two seventh-year boys he doesn't know. And Ginny's there, too, kind of, like, shoved in a corner. And she looks like
there too. Wait, don't they know that baby? You don't put baby in a corner.
Oh, like, my God.
What?
Wow. Wow.
Anyways, go on, Judy.
Anyway.
So it turns out that the Slytherin is Blaze Zabini. And I always want to say, like, Zamboni.
I want to call him Zambini. I've always said that in my head and I know that's not his name.
Well, what is it?
Zabini. There's no M, but I always want to put an M.
So do I. And I don't, like, I don't know
why either.
Is there a character from our childhood that's Zambini?
I don't think so.
Why do we want to do this then?
I don't know.
Zamboni, like at the hockey games.
There's the great Bambino.
No, that's not Isn't what it I'm a
Zamboni?
Of.
Yeah.
There's Zambini, which is the Miracle Man.
There you
Archie
go.
Comics. I don't know anything about him.
Did I ever tell you guys the really embarrassing story about how I always misheard the lyrics for that song, Jump On It?
Oh, God, what? Tell me what you thought.
I thought what they were song? Saying, you know, it was like, jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. Jump
on it. Oh, yeah.
I thought
what did
it
you
was...
think? Come on.
I always thought it was Jamboni.
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 No, you'll never unhear it.
I'd go with that.
I just told Jen the other day, so you know that one song I Miss You by Blink 182?
Yeah.
There's one part of it where like there's a sound in the background and it's like a noise that sounds like, I'm like, it sounds like your car door is open but your keys are still in the ignition. She's like, oh my god. I'm like, I know, you'll never unhear it now that you hear it.
Oh god.
And like to the point where I'll be listening to that song sometimes when I'm driving and it starts going to that part and I was like, is something wrong? I'm like, it's just the song. But listen to it and you're like, oh, you're right.
Hello there.
Angel from my nightmare.
A shadow in the background of the morn.
Beautiful.
We could go all day.
All right. Blaze Zabini. When Slughorn introduces them, no one makes any sign of recognition, no greeting. Quote from the book, Gryffindor and Slytherin students loathed each other on principles. Or on principle. Yeah, not okay. Let's just like change that. You know? So yeah. Slughorn then introduces Cormac McLaggen and Marcus Belby, two real great guys. And finally he gets to Ginny and Slughorn says, and this charming lady tells me she knows you. So Ginny grimaces at them from behind Slughorn's back. So how did Ginny get an invitation? Not that I don't think she deserves one, but is it just because like she happened to mention that she knows Harry in front of him? Is it because she's the only Weasley girl? Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
She does the bat bogey hex.
But on but the like, train, at this point, wouldn't she have gotten in trouble?
Oh, that's right. I remember this now. Thank you, Tiffany.
Can I be 100% honest? And I don't know if I said this in the Felix file. I may have. I don't remember the things I say. Come on. In the nicest way possible, I feel like Slughorn is reminded of Lily Potter, and he sees Lily Potter and Ginny Weasley.
Looks wise, you mean?
Attitude wise, well, I think skill wise,
fieriness, like
yeah.
Okay,
I can see that.
Yeah, and I just think that he probably saw that and was like, maybe you know how you see people that remind you of certain people and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like my parents were just on vacation over the summer and they saw an old man sitting on a bench and it looked like my grandpa, and my mom got choked up because of how like similar, just like the mannerisms, how he was sitting there, and I think he was eating chips and I was like, that's very grandpa. But like, I think that maybe seeing that in her, he was like, Lily.
Lolly.
All right, I accept that.
Can we point out that she's the only female right there?
Is she really?
Yeah. We have named no other females in that group right there.
You're accurate.
Don't care for that. Anyways, I also don't like that Slughorn does this. So he comments that, you know, this is like pleasant. Like, you know, and like, I feel like when you see this, like when you consume media, like whether it's a TV show or a movie or something, I'm laughing because I said something like this last night and Tiffany was like, you said that in an odd way. But you see them, they're like sitting down with like a group of people and they're like, oh, well, this is pleasant. And he says how like he packed lunch because like the stuff that comes off the trolley doesn't agree with him. And he offers first some pheasant to Belby, and then he starts to talk to him about his uncle. And I'm going to probably say this incorrectly, but his uncle's name is Democules. Sure. Slughorn asks him if he sees much of his uncle, which makes Marcus literally choke. So then Slughorn literally has to magic his airway free so he could breathe. And then we find out that no, his dad and his uncle don't really get on, so they don't see him much. So I want to talk about a few Demaculis. So first we're going to talk about his uncle. And he was a wizard and a potioneer. And he is credited with inventing the Wolfsbane potion, which we know is very important for werewolves. Yes.
I think it's Damocles.
Sure,
Damocles. I knew that sounded familiar, but isn't there... Did you look like old... Okay, it's Damocles.
Don't you worry. I got some Britannica.com up as well. I just figured I'd go with Harry Potter first and then talk about... But you're probably right. You know me. I can't read.
I know. Well, that's why I wanted to help you out.
His, well, it's also not like a normal name, so that's fine.
Yeah.
And it says that he that achievement was most likely the reason that why he was awarded an Order of Merlin award. There's not a crazy stuff about him, just that he made the potion and how that specific potion's development led to werewolves gaining a better chance to integrate themselves into wizarding society. And then we know that Marcus says that like his father and his uncle do not get along, and he doesn't have a lot of contact with his uncle and doesn't really know he and his uncle don't know each other very well. And let's see, it says some other things. So the etymology, I'm going to talk about it too. It was derived, it's a form of a Greek name, which is the same, Democles, right? Is that what you said?
Damocles.
Which was derived from the people. And then it's glory, I guess. And so it doesn't really talk about... It says, in a Greek legend, Damocles was a member of the court of Dionysus the Elder, the king of Syracuse, Damocles, expressed envy of the king's station. So Dionysus offered to switch roles with him for a day to illustrate to Damocles the peril of a man in his position. He suspended a sword over the throne. So I also looked up, well, when I looked up Damocles, like Harry Potter, another name came up. So I just thought it'd be interesting to remind everybody that there's Damocles Rowell, who was a minister of magic, and he was an anti-Muggle wizard politician who rose to the rank of minister of magic from 1718 to 1726, and he is responsible for the creation of the wizard prison known as Azkaban utilizing the Dementor colony living on the island as the prison guards.
So, swell dude.
Sweet.
Any hoosies, what else did I do? Oh, and then because I also googled, because like the name reminded me of like Greek mythology, basically
the olden days, but the super olden
and
days.
So this is from Britannica.com, and it says Damocles flourished 4th century BCE, a courtier of Dionysus I of Syracuse and Sicily, tyrant from 405 to 367 BCE. This courtier is known to history through the legend of the Sword of Damocles. So according to the legend, when Damocles spoke in extravagant terms of his sovereign's happiness, Dionysus invited him to a sumptuous banquet and seated him beneath a naked sword that was suspended from the ceiling by a single thread. Thus did the tyrant demonstrate that the fortunes of men who hold power are as precarious as the predicament in which he had placed his guest. This story is related in Cicero. And then it's a word that's not in English, and it's basically conversations at Tusculum, book 5. So fun fact, that's what we know.
Cicero. Lit shits ba-ba-na.
So then I looked up the spell that he uses, and in my head I was figuring out how to pronounce it, and then I looked and I was pronouncing it correct in my head. So it's anapneo, which was the incantation of a healing spell that cleared the target's airway by vanishing whatever the target was choking on. And this is what Slughorn uses on Marcus Belby's, on him, because he's choking on pheasant.
It's a pretty useful spell.
Sounds pleasant. Joke. Does not sound pleasant.
Sounds pheasant.
The Greek word anapneo means I breathe, which... is good when you're choking. That's what you literally need to do, is breathe. Not literally, like that's what you're trying, get it out so you can breathe. Anyways, so Slughorn isn't impressed, and he even stops listening to Marcus before he's even done talking, and he moves on to talk to Cormac McLagan, and he's saying that he's seen a picture of him, and I wrote Marcus when I meant to write Cormac. He's seen a picture of Cormac with his uncle, so he knows that they spend time together. So he like blatantly is like, oh, you don't talk to your famous uncle? Well, I'm going to talk to this kid. I don't even care what you have to say anymore. So like, let me talk to Cormac because I've seen a picture with him and his uncle. So he knows that they spend time together. And turns out he was hunting Nogtails with his uncle, and not just with his uncle, but also with Bertie Higgs and Rufus Scrimmager.
Is that real?
I don't know how to say his last name, so yes, it was real.
Oh, that makes me happy.
So Slughorn isn't very impressed that he knows both of those people, and he gives Cormac some pies, and it's noted that Marcus doesn't even get offered any of them. And this is what I'm talking about. This has nothing to do with what their talents. It literally has to do with who they know, which is garbage, and yeah. I hate it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Nogtails.
I don't like Nogtails. They're terrifying.
So a Nogtail was a demon resembling a stunted piglet.
What?
But with narrow black eyes, a thick stubby tail, and long legs.
The legs are so long. It's disgusting. I hate it.
I just got real chills.
I also looked it up in the Bestiary book.
Bestiary, I think.
That is the unofficial book for MuggleNet.
Yeah, it's terrible. Prints.
Size is small, status is mortal. Notable features, pig-like, long legs, a thick tail, dark, narrow eyes. I'm meaning you can kill it, I'm guessing.
Oh.
So did you know that, we already know this, that Cormac McLaddon is known to have hunted Nogtails in Norfolk with his uncle Tiberius? What a name. Little did you know that his uncle's last name is actually Kirk.
Captain?
Yes. Tiberius, what? No, it's James Tiberius, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure.
So he goes by his middle name, so he doesn't get confused. People don't think he's really in space because, you know.
Katie's brother's middle name is Tiberius.
It is.
It's great.
He also was hunting, as we know, Bertie Higgs and Rupert Scrudgemere. It says, Nogtails are the bane of farmers across America, Russia, and Europe, cursing farms by suckling with piglets. As these beasts can be driven away by only by a pure white dog, the pest subdivision of the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures employs albino bloodhounds to chase away Nogtails. So that's cool, I guess.
I do.
What?
I hate it.
It has a classification of 3 X's.
Three.
Then it says this category is for creatures in the wizarding world that were classified by 3 X's by the Ministry of Magic, and these creatures should be no trouble to competent wizards. So, fun fact. Those are Nogtails. I looked up Tiberius. JT. I want to say York because that's the kid from Degrassi. RIP. So Tiberius was a wizard and uncle of Cormac McLaddon. He worked at the Ministry of Magic and, according to Draco Malfoy, was highly influential there. He was close with the Minister of Magic, Rufus Scrimmager, and would often go hunting Nogtails. We know this with Bertie Higgs, him and Bertie Higgs. And he was a member of Horace Slughorn's Slug Club. The name Tiberius, this is the etymology, is a Roman praenomen? Or given name, meaning of the Tiber. In Latin, the Tiber is the river that runs through Rome. Tiberius was the second Roman emperor, the stepson of Emperor Augustus.
Augustus Gloop.
He was a paranoid and... sadistic emperor.
Oh, I was like, I don't know.
He ordered mass arrests while spending most of his time in his palace on the Isle of Capri, engaging in all manners of sexual immorality. Okay.
Good for you.
So that's good old Tiberius. We don't know much about him. Let's go, Bertie Higgs.
A lot of information here.
Which runs with Tiberius and Rufus Scrimmager. They'd all hunt Nogtails together if you didn't know. And that's all the wiki has on him. And
The ghosts are back.
And then we know, I'm not going to go too much into Rufus Scrimmager because obviously we know more about him. The man that plays him was also in Pirates of the Caribbean, and that's always what I think of because he's,
I thought
Davy
he was
Jones, I believe.
In that one thing. That
he's also in
Love Actually.
Yes. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Oh, my God. Christmas is all around me.
It's that guy.
Yeah.
And he's Davy Jones, because I always think of him with the, when he's got his beard moving, he's talking Davy about whatever.
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones.
Rufus Scrimgeour was a British wizard, powerful ranking official. He was the Minister of Magic at this point in the novel. He originally joined as an Auror, where he became a hardened veteran, spending most of his life fighting dark wizards. He then became the head of the Auror office. During the Second Wizarding War, he was appointed in 1996 to succeed Cornelius Fudge. We meet him at the beginning of this book when he meets with the Muggle Prime Minister. So I don't want to go into too much of him because, one, we've talked about him, and two, have we done a Felix Files on him, or we will?
We will.
I don't think we have, but yeah, we will for sure.
Because obviously there's a lot more on him than these other... I don't want to call them fools, but...
I knew you were going to say fools. I felt it coming.
But it's interesting because they have him in The Calamity. Huh. Oh, maybe I guess he was... I don't really know how that whole game worked because it said he appeared as a foundable during The Calamity, which is that video game on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were able to free him and so he could return to his original time. I don't know. Whatever, you know.
Weird.
I don't really play that game.
The word calamity always makes me think of that one all-time low song that I won't be able to sing because I don't know it that well, but I just think of it every time.
Calamity.
So the etymology of this man's name, Rufus, is a Latin name meaning red. It was a Roman cognomen, as well as the nickname of King William II of England, who had the reputation for being an effective soldier, but a ruthless and unpopular ruler. Scrimgeour is a Scottish surname that is believed to probably mean skirmish, from the French escrimeur, meaning swordsman. I don't know if I said that right. His name therefore loosely translates to red skirmish or red swordsman. So there's Rufus Scrimgeour. And then I'm going to read from the chapter because I like to do that from time to time. I have to make sure I'm on the right page. Okay. So, it was as Harry had suspected. Everyone here seemed to have been invited because they were connected to someone well-known or influential. Everyone except Ginny. Zambini, who was interrogated after... Did I say that right?
Interrogated?
It's
Zambini.
Zambini.
Did I say Zambini?
Yeah.
You may have. It's just a
Zambini, who was interrogated after McLagan, turned out to have a famously beautiful witch for a mother. From what Harry could make out, she had been married 7 times. Thank you. Each of her husbands dying mysteriously and leaving her mounds of gold. So... Black Widow, anyone?
Yes.
It was Neville's turn next. This was a very uncomfortable 10 minutes, for Neville's parents, well-known Aurors, had been tortured into insanity by Bellatrix Lestrange and a couple of Death Eater cronies. At the end of Neville's interview, Harry had the impression that Slughorn was reserving judgment on Neville, yet to see whether he had any of his parents swear. I think that's honestly really garbage of him to do to Neville, because no one really knows that. And like Neville doesn't talk about that. And that's not something that is Slughorn's story to tell. So I personally think that's trash that he made him talk about that.
Yeah.
So now it's Harry's turn and he's been dreading this because honestly, like Harry doesn't like to be in the center of attention. So, Slughorn marks that he feels like he's barely scratched the surface of Harry since they've met or when they met. You know, he mentions that he's now being called the Chosen One. And he says this, and then Harry notes that, like, Belby, McLagan, and Zabini are all, like, looking at him. And then Slughorn says that there have been rumors of how powerful Harry is because of, like, everything that happened that night at his house, like, with his parents, and he names Lily and James and, like, Voldemort, and they're like, and you survived, and... I wonder how powerful you have to be to have been through that. I don't know. I don't love Slughorn. I kind of hate him. I don't hate him, but I don't like him.
I can
understand. I understand, yeah.
Yeah. I understand. I don't like some of the things that he does, but and then the other times I'm kind of like indifferent. But yeah, that is the...
That's it. That's where we leave
off. That's the part two of the three-parter. It's a long chapter, you guys.
Yeah.
Truly, it is.
It's a very long chapter.
It could have been like the train ride to Hogwarts and then the Slug Club, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could have been its own chapter. All right. Lightning bolt round.
Ooh, I have a question for us. What would you, if you were having your own luncheon with the students, what would you want served there? I want an appetizer, I want a main course, and I want a dessert and a beverage.
Oh my god.
I want Coke and pizza.
Right. With ice cream
school,
cake.
For a school outing. Or school lunch.
It's not even an outing, but they're
school lunch, pizza.
Be more creative, you fools. Coke.
That's delicious.
That's all
what
you
are
need.
Talking about?
That's, no. It's so good.
Now I want
it's perfect.
Pizza.
Me too.
Well, people listening, let me know what you would do instead of these fools that are just having pizza.
I didn't get a chance.
Are you going to tell me pizza and Coke? Because that's lame.
No. I was going like to say, if I could have whatever I wanted, because this is about me and I'm Slughorn, so I'm going to be selfish. I want some chicken wings as an appetizer.
Is that your appetizer?
That's my appetizer. Some chicken wings. And then it's like build your own sub. So you got all like all the toppings and all the breads and cheeses and, whatever, and the meats.
That sounds gross.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Can we add subs to the list of things
Meg doesn't
like?
But you also
I like subs,
that.
But like I would never
I didn't hear what you said, so.
You can have chips as a side.
Okay.
Dessert. Dole Whip.
Mm. Okay.
And that's what I want. I want those Chipotle barbecue rub.
Chipotle barbecue. Oh, yeah.
Those are so good. Yeah. Or six pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Six pepper.
Yeah.
My beverage of choice. Like a nice cold ginger ale.
Mmm. I like a Canada Dry. Canada Dry, if you're listening and you want to sponsor, I will
maybe
always
sponsor.
Maybe
a root beer from time to time.
Mm.
I enjoy a root beer.
Do you like a root beer float?
God, I haven't had one in a long time.
I don't think so. I don't like
I don't think I hate them,
other.
But if someone was like, do you want a root beer float? I would say no.
I
Thank
too
you.
Would say no. I don't like with the ice cream in the, like it does something together.
It gets all foamy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Okay. That's what I would have. What would you have?
I might do like teaser. Maybe garlic shrimp for an appetizer with like
what
a little
if
crostini.
I'm allergic?
Then maybe bruschetta on some
Ooh,
nice crostini,
yes.
like
okay.
some nice crusty bread.
Okay.
Or like even like cheesy bread.
Yeah.
Garlicky cheesy bread.
Mm-hmm.
I probably, because I'm now craving this, do like a nice pot roast.
I had that
potatoes,
this week. I apologize.
Onions.
You weren't here.
You know, the like. With some crusty bread inside. And for dessert.
I would have crusty bread.
I might do a French silk pie.
Oh, God. You're speaking my language.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are thinking about a lunch party for like 30-year-olds and not 16-year-olds.
The man served pheasant.
I mean, I know, and it's like too much. He should have just gotten some Zaz and a 12-pack of Coke and called it a day.
I don't care about them. They're there for me. That's Correct. Exactly what that man is thinking.
Yeah.
Serve them pheasant. I'm going to serve them pot roast. And let me tell you, as a 16-year-old, I loved pot roast.
I love pot roast as well.
So I would have eaten it.
I got us.
Ready?
Wings.
Flown in sourdough bread bowls from San Fran with some broccoli cheddar soup.
Yes.
Some mac and cheese.
See? You got to think big. You
I
went,
mean,
you went
I
to
want
pizza because you're hungry right now.
I'm on my wife's side with pizza.
I'm not hungry right now, but I don't have good
I'm
pizza
hungry,
in
yeah.
Florida. So if I can have an opportunity to have good pizza, I'm taking it.
True.
All right.
Because the best pizza in the radius of my home is Little Caesars. And let me tell you, that is sad.
I don't. I'm not. Yes. Pizza's not my favorite food, so.
Yeah. I like pizza.
That's my favorite.
I would eat other things before I eat pizza.
I agree with that statement.
And you guys live in the city that has like the best pizza.
Yeah, you don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it.
I mean, I don't. I typically eat good pizza though when I eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not your favorite, so you're not allowed.
Okay, I have access to all this good pizza, but like I don't like it that much.
Oh my god.
Some mafia.
I don't put pizza in my mouth unless it's really good.
It's not my favorite food, and that's okay.
Let's move on.
Let's see. Sam asks, do you think that Neville should have been told about how close he came to being the chosen one, or was it better to just live in ignorant bliss? I don't think there's a reason for it.
What good would that have done besides stress him the heck out and make him feel guilty that he wasn't doing all the work? You know what I mean? No. Let him. Ignorance is bliss. Let him live. He already has a tough life.
Yeah, I think there would be no purpose to do that.
No.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
We're focus over here. Pizza. All of us are passionate, and Katie's like, I don't know what we're talking about.
I'm sorry.
Do you think that Neville should have been told about how close he came to being the chosen one?
No, he doesn't need that in his life.
There you go.
Meg asks.
You?
You?
No. But she is a Slytherin, so it's cool.
Same person.
What do you think would have happened if Voldemort chose to ignore the prophecy and marked neither boy?
I think it would never have happened because I think he's too fixated on himself and living forever.
So we're saying the prophecy exists, but Voldemort didn't hear it. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Or ignored it.
If he didn't hear it, maybe didn't hear it, because then we can actually come up with an answer.
You know what I really think would have happened?
It would have happened anyways.
Well, I think Dumbledore would have raised both those young men.
Here's my thing, though. In my opinion of, like, especially of, like, reading books, of, like, even if you try to, like, go around a prophecy or you, like, the person that's about, it always ends up going, like, it happens anyways. So, like, I don't think that there was any other way it would have happened. Personally,
I stand by what I said. Because,
but no, but like I'm saying, let's answer it as if.
What'd you say? Oh, you pulled it out.
I did.
I was saying, let's answer it not as if he's ignoring it, but as if he never heard it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I think that even if he hadn't heard it, something would have happened for it to have been in fruition, and it would have gone like. Regardless of him hearing or not, does not make the prophecy null and void. Like, it still would have, like, something would have happened. Like, does that make sense?
But do you think that he could have marked one of, like, I feel like knowing about it is the only way that he could have, like, chosen to mark one of them. Whereas, like, I agree something could have happened to, like, make the prophecy come to fruition, such as, like, only one can live. Like, the other one had, like, they have to kill one or the other. But, like, I don't think that, like, one of the boys would have been marked if Voldemort didn't know about it. You know what I mean?
What I'm saying is I think it would have happened, but not the way it's happened because he knew about it. I think it would have happened differently, but I still think it would have happened.
Like, marking them?
Yes. He might not have done it intentionally, but I think the whole thing would have happened anyways. Regardless if he knew or not. Just maybe not exactly in the way that it happened in this series. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's so a separate timeline where he didn't know, things would still transpire where, like, he marked Harry and, like, blah, 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 blah.
I think the key to in any movie or book or whatever, anytime there's a prophecy, it comes true because someone tries to make it not come true or tries to fulfill it properly. So I feel like if he didn't know about it, maybe it wouldn't happen.
Maybe it wouldn't have.
Yeah. Maybe that's the key to breaking a prophecy, is to not try and, it's kind of like, oh, if you know the future, you kind of like screw it up because then it leads you down the path that you tried to escape so much.
Yeah. Like, isn't it kind of stated at some point that, like, it only happened because Voldemort chose Harry?
I don't know.
I do kind of feel like I do kind of feel like it would have come down to Harry or Neville. And I do think that because Dumbledore heard it, he would have prepared for it. So maybe because Dumbledore was acting on the prophecy, that would have put it into play. Even though Voldemort didn't, Dumbledore did. So that would have pushed it along. And he would have, like what Tiffany said before, like prepared both of them.
Yeah. Yes. I like what Mia said. He being Voldemort, would have engaged with the Potters or the Longbottoms regardless, just because of who they were in the Wizarding World.
He knew the prophecy, tried to get them on his side more than once.
Mm-hmm. Have to send Harry and Neville to an Illyrian camp. Get them ready to fight.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Hold on. Sorry, I'm trying to pick one. My mind drifted. Quick answers. Katie asks. Quick answers. Do you think Rex Spurts exist?
Yes. I do. Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Because I feel them daily.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's just do two more. Magic by Phoenix. If you were in Harry's position, would you have let Slughorn collect you?
Probably. No.
Well, if I was in Harry's position, yeah.
You would have just
I would have had to with Harry, but if any other reason, I would have been like, not for me, peace.
I probably would have seen it as a good networking opportunity.
Yeah,
and I would have done it. Yeah.
Knowing me as a teenager, I would have been a snot about it.
Yeah.
And it's my club. Mm.
Last one is from Emily. If you could recast Danny DeVito into the Harry Potter movies, who would you cast him as? You're swapping Danny DeVito out for one person in the original movies.
Oh, I was going to say Peeves. Peeves. Tiffany.
Yeah. Oh, Peeves.
Peeves.
Daniel Radcliffe needs to go. Put Danny DeVito in. Dan.
We're over you. Peeves would have been great.
Vernon.
Oh, Vernon. He would have done a good Vernon.
What if he was Mr. Weasley?
Oh, he could have done a good Mr. Weasley, too.
Love it.
All right. I don't think that... Yeah, Illyrians are very distracting. That got me distracted. I was like, there are things that I could say that I will on another podcast and not this one. I don't think anybody got bingo, so let's see. Hufflepuff came in first with 300 points.
Power to the Pups.
Gryffindor second with 250.
Oh,
wow. Some Gryffindors are like, first is worst and second is
best. Oh.
Please be advised, the following fan story contains discussions of self-harm and suicide. To skip this conversation, please move forward 4 minutes.
All right, who wants a fan story?
I do.
Me.
Okay. This week's fan story comes from Maggie Brooks, and this is from September of 2019. The subject line made me laugh. It said, eye-catching subject title, my Potter story.
Love that.
Dear Tiffany, Megan, Katie, Sarah, and most importantly, Florence. My name is Maggie, and I'm writing from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. A little about the kind of witch I am. I'm a Gryffindor. My wand is cedarwood with a phoenix feather core, 13 inches and unbending flexibility. My Patronus is a dragonfly.
That's cool.
Cute.
Her words, not mine. Kind of lame, but I'll take what I can get. No, I think it's awesome. So cool. I love it. Dragonflies. I just started Swish and Flick a few months ago, so I'm a little behind, but thanks to my new job, I've been making a lot of progress listening. I'm on episode 53 at the moment and have been considering submitting my Potter story for a while now, although it may be long compared to others. Mine is a little different than most because, pause for dramatic effect, the only Harry Potter book I've ever read is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. My mom took me and my brother to see Sorcerer's Stone when we were younger, and in my head I thought, why read the books when I can just wait on the movies? Lazy, I know, but I was always really busy and active in sports, and I'm the type of person who picks up a book and can't put it down until I finish the entire thing. For example, when I got Deathly Hallows, I read it in 24 hours.
Yes.
One of the reasons I love Swish and Flick is because I'm basically getting to read the books in summarized form with you four, and it's been so fun listening along and finding out so many little things I never knew about them and the story as a whole. My favorite podcast episodes are the movie to book comparisons you all do.
I'm sorry you have to wait so long for those.
Yeah, I know. Gosh. Those are few and far between.
Although I haven't read every book, I still consider myself a diehard Harry Potter fan. I went to every midnight premiere after seeing the first movie, got Harry's scar tattooed on my wrist when I turned 18, and about a month ago got Sirius Black's inmate number movieism tattooed on my arm. He's my favorite character, of course. No matter what I've gone through, Harry Potter has always been there. My junior year of college, one of my good friends from high school committed suicide, and it sent me into a pretty deep depression. I felt lost and like I was surrounded by Dementors 24/7, which I imagine is what my friend felt like for a very long time. But every night throughout that time, I would put a Harry Potter movie on and fall asleep to it. I watched the entire series over and over for 2 months straight. It was one of the only things I found comforting at the time. It let me get out of my head and into Hogwarts for a few hours every night. It's been 3 years since I lost my friend, but thanks to the trio, their adventures, and good conquering evil, I got through it. And as Sirius would say, the ones that love us never really leave us. Listening to you girls on this podcast is the highlight of my days at work. I love all your theories, lightning bolt rounds, and how the world of Harry Potter brings so many people together. Most importantly, I love hearing the fan stories and how unique each and every one of them are. Life gets hard sometimes. Check on your friends, love one another, and don't let the muggles get you down. And then she left us with a Stephen King quote, "Books and movies are like apples and oranges. They are both fruit, but taste completely different."
I like that. I like that quote. It's a good story.
I am super really sorry. Yeah, super sorry you lost your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you had something to help you get through it. And as we always point out, it doesn't matter if you haven't read any books or watched any movies. If you still like Harry Potter, you still like Harry Potter. If you just read the books or you just watched the movies or whatever.
I hate categorizing.
Yeah. I love that you own it and that you're just a fan. That's what's important, you know?
True.
So thanks for your story.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's so true. Check on your friends. Sometimes in my head, I'm like, you know, like I'm really, really bad at keeping in contact. And it's something I'm trying to work on. So if in my head it pops up like, I wonder how so-and-so is doing, I'm like, you should send them a text and I will do it then. Because if I'm thinking about them, I should let them know. Because maybe subconsciously they need to hear from me. Know what I'm saying?
Also, check on your friends I think you think are doing fine. Because a lot of times they're the ones that are too. Pulling everything in.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are correct. Who wants a joke? I flipped randomly and it's funny.
All right.
It's dumb, but it's funny. How does Quidditch even work? On a wing and a player.
Oh my God. I looked up jokes about feasts, and none of them are appropriate because a lot of them have to do with cannibals. What? So I also looked up roast beef jokes, like pot roast jokes, because that's what I would eat at my slug club, my Sasa club meeting. So what's the difference between roast beef and pea soup? Anyone can roast beef.
Oh my God.
Let's see. A roast beef walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Hey, get the heck out of here. We don't serve food here." Get it?
That's sewer?
Funny. Serve food here.
I was like, I do not get it.
I was addicted to lunch meats, but I quit cold turkey. I'm still hooked on salami and roast beef, though. I started a Harry Potter themed food blog. Fantastic feasts and where to find them.
That's cute.
What's the difference between a unicorn and a head of cabbage? One is a funny beast and the other is a bunny feast.
Oh my God. All right, you can follow your hosts on social media. Myself and Katie are on Instagram at the Petrus Family. Tiffany is on Instagram at tiffswish_flick. And Sarah is on Instagram at O'Malley with 3 H's.
Ding. What am I doing? Well, let me tell you. So I finished the audiobook for The Dragon Reborn, which is the third book in the Wheel of Time series. And
did you like it?
I did. I really liked it. So I immediately started Shadow Rising, which is the fourth book.
I picked that up for my floor today.
You did?
I did. And I looked at my bookmark and I'm like, I don't think I was that far into you, but maybe.
So I started that, so I'm listening to that. Very interesting start to that book. So I don't even remember it. I'm ready to see where it goes.
Is that where you are, Sarah? Is the fourth one?
Yeah.
So I finally caught up to her. Dude, this audiobook is 41 hours.
Oh my gosh. I thought Obama's was bad. It was 31.
Oh no.
These books are
Wheel of Time is like wordy. They're like 35 to 41 is the longest one I've read yet, so listening to that, you guys, I'm really, really trying to get into A Discovery of Witches and like actually read that book. It's not sparking anything in me. I'm putting it down.
And this is coming from me, who forced myself to read books I did not care for this year.
Yeah. I'm not gonna do that.
Let it go.
So I did download, what's the one you just read, Megan?
Throne of Glass.
Throne of Glass. So I have Throne of Glass on my Kindle. And then Sarah got me like the jumbo book of Ohio ghost stories, pretty much. So I have that to do a little spooky reads. But those are like quick little stories. So, and those are like, they're broken down by like area. So that'll be something fun for just like quick, like pick it up, read a little bit and then set it back down. It's still spooky season, so I'll be moving on with that. I don't know. Just been teaching. There's no breaks. I'm tired. But it's not been too bad at school. And it's amazing with like these kids and their resilience and wearing masks and staring apart and all of that, and they do a better job than you think first graders would do, so I'm really proud of them. You guys, also, it sounds so wild, but I have more readers in my class this year than I have in a very long time. And that's given good. Last year, I'm like amazed. And I've got kids that they're reading slow, but they're reading, and I am like over the moon, and I'm like, do you feel proud of yourself? And you can't see their little mouth smile, but you can see their eyes like small and crinkle, and I'm like, you're smiling, aren't you? And they're like, yeah. And we're rocking and rolling, and it's good. I don't know, there's something about this year where I feel like I'm getting to them. Good. Some years I feel like nobody hears me. And then this is, I don't know if it's because last year was so wild or what, but like, I'm actually like, I'm noticing and seeing the growth, and it's October, and that makes me really happy. So
that's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah. My kids are doing good. And we did a whole like pumpkin unit. We started bats this week. So we're learning about bats.
Look, freaking bats.
Bats. I love Halloween. So they're learning about like megabats and microbats and what a mammal is. And
were you the one that laminated something and all of it was wrong information? Do you remember that?
I remember that.
And I brought it home to my mom because we thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't look at it. And then I looked at it and I realized it was wrong.
Yeah. What is that? It was about bats, though, right?
Yeah. And all of it was...
It was some article I found on TPT, and you know me, I'm like, it's free, downloaded it, like, yeah, you know, and then I started reading it, and we were like, what the heck is this?
I think I have a picture of it somewhere.
Oh, that'd be great. Look in October over the years. But yeah, so I'm excited. I've been doing a lot of themed stuff, and they've been having fun. Maybe that's why I'm seeing the growth, is because... You know, it's so enjoyable and they're really trying with it instead of just like standing up there and preaching at them and it's boring. So you gotta make it fun. Pumpkin Day is a hard day though. I don't recommend it, but I'll do it every year. And that's me.
I want a pumpkin day.
That sounds fun.
What if you had like you incorporated pumpkin into every meal and then you did pumpkin things all day?
I want to make some pumpkin chili.
Oh, yeah.
I should do that soon.
That's good stuff.
So good. It's like one of my favorite fall dishes. Anyway, I have been in a reading slump, but that doesn't mean that I have been in a book buying slump, which is a problem. So I have purchased Shadow and Bone to add to my list. And Six of Crows. So, like, I have all five books to read. I really want to get From Blood and Ash, like, the whole series. So that is next on my list to acquire. But I did go to Libby, and I got... So I have to get out of my reading slump, like, fast, because I borrowed the second, third, fourth, and fifth Throne of Glass book, so I have 3 weeks to read those, which I can do if I read, which I think that I will. Finishing Throne of Glass felt really good, because I just finished the first Throne of Glass the other day, so hopefully today I wanted to read, but I told myself that today was going to be a vlog editing day, so that is what I did.
So you're welcome.
Did you get the prequel?
I did
that because I know that the vlogs have been like looming over you. You have to feel so much better now.
It feels good because now I have like a solid month where I don't have to feel like I have to get something done for it because I have them scheduled, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that does feel good. And hopefully I'll finish one more tonight before I go to bed.
I feel good. Na, 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 na.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like I haven't really been doing a lot.
You just got back from vacation, so.
This is true.
You're expected to do a lot.
Yeah.
You're just chill, babe. Everyday normal life.
We did go to Animal Kingdom the other morning, and that was fun. We just, like, went and got coffee. We actually ran into Imani,
mm-hmm.
who's in Discord all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was awesome. Shout out to her. It was nice meeting you and your new husband. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Congrats.
They had the cutest couple shirts.
They did. They had a Jack and Sally couple shirt. So it was cute. Really cute. But yeah, besides that, we haven't really done a whole lot.
My turn?
Yeah.
Finally,
you have more to talk about. You've been running. You're like doing things with your life.
You have been running.
I ran 5 miles today.
Running.
She ran five miles today.
I've never gone that far before.
Do you feel good?
I feel accomplished that I did it, but my legs are very tired.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Do you feel like did you get that runner high that people talk about?
I have felt that before. I didn't feel that today. It is what it is. Like some days you have a really good run and some days you don't.
Yeah.
Today was like, I feel like when I'm doing a long run after I hit 3 miles, which is hard to get through to, then I'm like fine for the rest of it. But I just got to push to there. But yeah, I've been training up. It's less than a month away, which is really crazy. And I finally finished One Last Stop, which is a very good book. Feels super good. Highly recommend. And I think the next book I'm going to read is The X-Hex. I think I'm going to start that soon because it's like Halloween.
I just bought that.
Yeah.
At the airport. I've never bought a book at the airport before.
I don't know if I have, but... Yeah, really good. So, that's all I got.
That's a lot. That's good stuff.
So, I haven't finished a book since we last recorded, which was like 4 days ago. Like, but I do have bought books. So here's my question I want people to answer.
How many of you read this month so far? How many of you read so far?
Five, maybe?
In October?
I think so.
Jeez.
Maybe four. Let me look at my Goodreads. But here's my question. When you were youngsters and you were like in school, like high school specifically, did you read the books that you were told to read?
Yes.
Nope. Majority of the time, I did not. And so I finished Song of Achilles and I loved that book. And I've always loved like Greek mythology. So I wanted to read more. And I've only read four this month, Tiffany. And also, by the way, so I told Tiffany, I read A Song of Achilles. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And so I wanted to watch Troy because, like, the movie with Brad Pitt, because I hadn't seen it in a long time. And I remember when I'd watched it, I didn't remember, like, the whole story because, again, I never read the books in high school that I was supposed to. And I was, like, watching it, which I'm like, yeah, Brad Pitt, you're hot, whatever. There are hotter men in my, not in specifically my life, but in the world. And I'm like, all of these things are wrong. I'm like, you didn't die there. You didn't die there. You didn't die there. I'm like, she didn't do that. That didn't happen. Anyways, it was all right. But so I wanted to read. I bought the Odyssey because I was like, oh, you know what? I want to read more about Odysseus and like his journey. And I was telling my friend that I've never read Pride and Prejudice. And she was shocked because she loved that book. And I was like, well, I was told to read it in high school. And I read about half of it. And then I watched the miniseries with my friend who was in a different English class and just didn't finish the book. So I bought a copy of that, a really pretty copy from Barnes & Noble. It was only $10. So I bought the Iliad, the Odyssey, and Pride and Prejudice. So I'm going to like go back and read some more. And that's really, I've been reading Kingdom of the Cursed, and then I just saw someone's review of it. I'm like maybe a third of the way through and they like did not like it, which makes me sad. So I'm like, am I not gonna like it? But I'm trying not to like have them in my mind. So like I skipped through like their whole review because I'm like, I don't want to be influenced. I'm trying to think of like what else I'm doing. Just living my life. I went through my clothes today. So if you need to do that, sometimes I get in the urge to literally throw everything away.
Yeah.
And I was looking at all my shirts that are hung up. I think I have like 10 shirts, maybe not even that, that I have hung up and they're all tank tops. So I was like, maybe I should get other clothes because it's going to be cold season soon.
It is.
Tank tops don't do well in the winter.
No. It's sometimes it's like, besides like sweaters,
yeah,
like,
well, and I do have like, I'll have t-shirts that like, honestly, I don't really like super tight clothing,
same,
but I have tight t-shirts that I like wear underneath my sweaters, which like actually makes me feel better, not feel better, but like more comfortable,
makes you feel put together,
and it makes me feel because I'll tuck my t-shirt into my jeans.
Yes, I don't like to feel
sweater
my
feel
jeans
better.
Yes,
it's just like
I'm here with you. Yes. Undershirts are life, tuck them in.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what else I've been doing, just going through that.
Dancing to the Monster Mash.
Yeah, Alana and I danced to the Monster Mash. But yeah, buying books. I actually went out to a store because I wanted to get the paperback copy of Court of Thorns and Roses so I could write in it. And then I bought two books. Oh, I bought the Iliad at there, and I bought Tiffany that ghost book story. And then I started watching this anime show, which is also kind of really weird. It's called Devil's Line or something like that, but it's only one season. So I'm like, do I even really want to watch this? It has to do like with vampires and they call them devils. I don't really. And it got real weird the last episode I was watching. I was like, I don't know if this is for me. And I'm like, I also don't want to get sucked into like the anime and then it's not, they don't finish it. And then I have to like read all the manga because I'm like, that's a lot of books. that I have literally no room for. And I watched that movie today. I was telling Tiffany, the one, it's like the devil in us all or something like that, or the devil. I have to look it up.
Where's Prada?
I was going to say
It's got Harry Melding. Is that his name? Who played Dudley? It's got Robert Pattinson, Tom Holland.
That, yeah.
The devil all the time. So I watched that today because I wanted something kind of like, I really wanted like a spooky thing to watch, but I don't like scary movies because I get scared. So, like, I'm thinking my creep level is like Corpse Bride kind of a thing, or like Nightmare Before Christmas, because now as an adult, that's not scary to me. But I watched this, and it was an interesting movie. Very violent. So, like, definitely trigger warnings and all the things before you watch it. But it's all right. I like Tom Holland. Bill Skarsgård's in it for a hot second. He's all right. His brother's hotter, in my opinion. Not that you need to, like, judge people by their hotness. But his brother's Alexander Skarsgård, if you don't know.
What are the last names?
Skarsgård. Yeah. Their dad was so in Mamma Mia. Their brother was in Viking. Their Vikings, whatever that show is called. So I'm just trying to live life. Also, I bought a new bedspread, and let me tell you, it's comfy. It's super soft. I got it from Target.
On top of it?
Huh?
You said you lay on top of it?
I do. I lay on top and underneath it.
Are you a little Sarah Burrito?
Well, no. So, like, I'll lay on top of it because I don't always get under my covers, but I like to lay in my bed and read, and sometimes I want to be under the covers, and sometimes I want to be on top. I also had to go through my blanket today. I only got rid of one.
We have so many.
I have a drawer full. I don't wear t-shirts all the time, and I have a drawer full of Swiss shirts that I'm like, well, I can't really get rid of these, but whatever. Anyways, I'm going to stop rambling because obviously I'm not doing anything with my life, just trying to survive.
You should...
Francis the Fish is coming soon.
Sign the shirts from Swish that you want to get rid of and raffle them off to Josh.
You know, I'll just throw them into crowds like they do at baseball
t-shirt
games.
Cannon.
Yes. Oh my god! Like,
what the heck is this? Anyways, Adele. Let's talk about her. I just love her, and her music is phenomenal. Her new single came out. Her album's coming out November 19th. Be there or be square. Just saying. Pre-order.
Oh, goodness.
Any hoosies? That's my life.
Are you sticking to it?
I read and I know things. For now.
Oh, my goodness. What an episode. Who knew you could take a third of a chapter and turn it into this?
2 hours.
Third.
It's a talent. Third. It's a gift.
It's a gift we have. The gift of gab, mm-hmm. is what some would say.
Mm-hmm.
What is this for?
For friends and feasts.
All right.
I don't know.
For slugs and
pizza.
Slug pizzas.
For slug pizzas.
Little slug pizzas.
Not yeah. slug pizzas, but slug pizzas.
Oh, just don't just put salt on it if you got a slug pizza.
Ew.
Well,
this
okay.
went in a very odd direction. So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Slug pizza? That's terrible. So it is cherry and unicorn.
No one was laughing.
I'm looking at you.
So you're saying that my face is funny looking?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, you think the earth is flat, so.
Sarah.
Sarah.
Oh, God.
So.
I mean, sometimes it seems like you have the whole package and then you come out and say that the earth is flat.
It's dusty balls all over again.
Who knew? Who knew?
Dusty balls.
Bye, Swishers.